Turn with me, please, to Peter's first letter, the first epistle of Peter, chapter number 1, and let me bring you a message which I believe will be brief and succinct this morning. I know that the Lord knew how the service would go today, and that there were a number of other things He wanted to do during the service, and also in light of the fact that we have a fellowship dinner planned for immediately after the service. In the event that I forget to announce this, please let me say that if you're visiting with us today, or if you came today and forgot about the dinner after the service, there will be plenty to eat, and nothing would please us or bless us more than to have all of you stay and join with us in this time of fellowship over a common meal. It would be a special blessing for us if our visitors and our guests today would stay and be our guests at dinner. When the service concludes, I'll give you instructions as to how we're going to go about doing that. Let's read together a passage, or follow along as I read, rather, a short passage from the first chapter of this first letter from Peter to the church. Now, the epistles are especially important to us, for they are written by apostolic authors under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obviously, but they are written specifically to Christians. They're written specifically to the church. And so when we read in the epistles, they are very much instructional and very revealing to us as a part of the Christian church. Verse 23 reads thus, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now, if you'll hold your finger there, please, and turn with me to the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, and find the opening that contains the 40th chapter. I want to show you that the Apostle Peter is quoting very directly this Old Testament prophet. I'm always blessed when I see the New Testament authors and their knowledge of their Bible, which was the Old Testament. Beginning to read in Isaiah 40, the third verse. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? And this is the message to be cried. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Now, what I want to speak on this morning, albeit briefly, is the passage from the middle of the sixth verse there, and Peter's interpretation of it in the 24th verse that we read from 1 Peter 1. Isaiah speaks in verse 7 and verse 6, "All flesh is grass." In other words, all mankind, all of this earthly life is like grass. All the goodliness thereof, in other words, all of the reputation that men can achieve, all of the things that men can do in the flesh, all the goodliness of the flesh is like the flower of the field. And Isaiah says that what happens to the grass is it withers, and what happens to the flower is it fades. Peter interprets that in verse 24 of chapter 1, "For all flesh is as grass, and all of the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falleth away. I'm struck with a phrase today, the glory of man. I'm struck with the thought that entails, the glory of man. What is the glory of man? What is this goodliness of the flesh that Isaiah referred to? It's all of those things that we spend so much time and energy and effort on in this life so that we can accomplish something. It's all of the things that we do in this life so that we have something to be proud of. It's all of those things that we do in this life so that we have something to boast in. That is the glory of man. The glory of man are the endeavors of man and the accomplishments of man that cause others to think well of us and cause others to speak well of us. It is our reputation. It is what we are known for. It is that which others think of when they think about us. What I want to say about the glory of man today is, according to the Word of God and according to the experience of life, glory is fleeting. Glory is short-lived. Let me give you an example. We see it in our athletic contests, don't we? We see how men will put their entire energy, their entire life. They will sell their entire future in order to be glorified, in order to be exalted, in order to be accredited by other men as being great in a particular athletic endeavor. And let them take the field and let them do well, and the crowds cheer. The glory of man. But let him throw an interception. Or let him throw a home run pitch. Or let his man break away for a quick two-pointer. And listen to the crowd boo. The glory of man is fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. The Bible says that the glory of man is like the flower of the plant kingdom. It is here for a moment, it's beautiful, and it is a blessing, but just for a moment. But surely, 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 that flower will fade. Surely, 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 that flower will fall. Surely, 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 that flower will disappear, and so will the glory of man. Yes, you can work your entire life and give yourself faithfully to a job. And when you're done, you'll retire and you get a gold watch and a great thank you from the boss. And that's the end. Something that you've given your entire life to is now over. It's gone. It's finished. Our political system really illustrates this point, I think, as dramatically as any. One night we're singing Hail to the Chief. Happy days are here again. Washington, D.C. is alive with dancing and feting of this wonderful, victorious candidate. And after a few days, a few weeks, a few months in office, the newspaper cartoonists are lampooning him. And the people around their tables are eating him for dinner. In fact, I guess one of the most dramatic instances of this happened just a few years ago. If I remember my history correctly, our president was a man named George Bush. He had just led a worldwide coalition of allies against a rebel in the Middle East and had defeated Saddam Hussein and his crooks, his gangsters, in a war which we call Desert Storm, the Persian Gulf War. And if I remember correctly, the approval rating in our country for our president at that moment was 92%. That number sticks in my mind. 92% of the American people thought that he was a wonderful president, the greatest thing since chunky peanut butter, extra chunky peanut butter, and that he was our savior, our political savior. And that he was wonderful for the company and we all, or for the country, and we all thought he was great. A year later, the same people of which 92% thought he hung the moon, turned him out of office. The glory of man. The glory of man is fleeting like the flower fades. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to us? It means to us, if we put all of our energy, if it means if we put all of our life, it means if we put all of our strength and all of our thinking power into doing something that will glorify us, we are simply asking for soon coming futility, vanity, and emptiness in our life. For the glory of man is on its way to die. Now, does that mean we shouldn't do our best? No, it doesn't mean we shouldn't do our best. We should do our best. If we have athletic ability, we ought to do our best with our athletics. If we have ability to do well in serving in a company, we need to do well in that. If we sell well, if we manage well, if we build well, whatever it is that we do, we ought to do it to the best of our ability, but our perspective ought not to bring glory to ourselves, because all of the glory that we gain for ourselves will soon be gone. I guarantee you that in 20 years, few people will remember who Deion Sanders is. Amen. The glory of man is like the flower of the field. It will die, wither, and fall away. Well, what will last forever? What will last forever? Peter said, it's only the Word of God that will endure forever. And so if we want to get something in our life, we want to get the Word of God in our life. We want to get the Word of God be made flesh in us, for that will bring a glory that will last forever. In fact, I like Isaiah 60. Vicki, arise, shine. Isn't that your verse, Vicki? Isn't it? Sure it is. Isn't that the verse that you read? Yes, it is. I think my memory's better than yours. Arise, shine. We better get the tape out and see. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, the question I want to ask today is, to what have you given your life? Have you given your life to building a business? Have you given your life to a job and a career? Have you given your life to an education? Have you given your life to a family? Hello? Hello? Are you still listening? Now, there's nothing wrong with doing well on a job. There's nothing wrong with having a career. There's nothing wrong, obviously, with supporting and loving and caring for your family. There's nothing wrong with building an education into your life. But there is something wrong if that becomes first. Because unless the glory of the Lord is revealed in our lives, there will be no glory to last. The glory of man will die. Are you living to make a name for yourself? Or is your life designed to make a name for Jesus? That's the question. What is your desire? Do you want a name for yourself? Or do you want to lift up the name of Jesus? Do you want your life to be such that when someone looks at you, they say, what a great man. What a wonderful lady. What a terrific young person. Isn't that a grand individual? Or do you want somebody to look at your life and say, isn't Jesus fantastic? Isn't God good? Who's going to get the glory out of your life? Who is going to be glorified when your life is finished? Will it be you or will it be Jesus? We are making those choices every day. Amen. Matthew 6 and 33. Says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I'm absolutely confident that if we will put the Lord first in all that we do, if we will seek to bring him glory in all that we do, that he will see to it that we are held in high esteem by our fellow men. Now, a couple of verses from, one from Matthew and another from Luke. Matthew 6 and then Luke 12. Matthew 6 and Luke 12. Now, these verses talk about material things. They talk about our possessions. They talk about our money. But I believe that the meaning goes much deeper than that. And as I think about this whole matter of whose glory is being revealed in us, whose reputation are we building, who are we attempting to glorify, these verses speak to me. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then in Luke, the 12th chapter, these words from the 15th verse. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I think we might also say, and not do injustice to the word of God, that a man's life does not consist in his reputation among others, for his own deeds and his own accomplishments. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses, or his own glory. And then he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I guess the question that we need to ask ourselves, this is a question for all of us, not just the young person, but for any of us in any stage of life. Would you rather be president of the United States, die with your name in all of the history books, and have a library built in your honor, to house all of your thoughts and writings, to have highways in various parts of the country and streets and boulevards and schools named after you, and die without God? Or would you rather die an insignificant as the world goes person and be at the right hand of the Father in heaven forever? Which is best? Is it best to have the glory of man revealed in us, or is it better to have the glory of God revealed in us? The question that I want to ask us today, I want us all to answer for ourselves, is whose glory is being shown in us? Who is praised when we are thought of? Who is acknowledged? Who is honored? Who is given praise when someone says our name? What are we bringing glory to? Ourselves? Or to our Savior? Let's pray. Jesus, you speak this to us today clearly and succinctly. But having heard this, it won't make any difference unless we are reminded on the decisions of each day as we make them. Help us, Lord, in our perspective. Help us, Lord, to know that the only glory that will ever last is the glory of God upon us. The way that that glory is revealed in us is as we let your word come into our hearts, and as we let it grow and prosper and develop inside us. For you said your word endures forever. We want the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us. We want our reputation to be such that when someone identifies us, that they may say, that was a man of God. That was a woman of God. That was a person in whom I saw Jesus. That was a person that inspired me to give my life to Christ. That was an individual that touched my life for God in a special way. Whenever I think about that person, I can't help but be drawn closer to the Lord. Father, we want all of us, each one of us, to have that be the watchword and the byword of our life. The accolades and the admirations of men mean little to us, Lord, for we know that they will die with the passing, that they will not last, that they are strictly temporal. The applause of men will fade, oftentimes even turning into jeers and boos when we do not perform rightly. But the praise of heaven will ever get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And so, Holy Spirit, you're living inside us. You are given to us by our Father to help us, to bring to remembrance our calling, to call to our remembrance who we really are, and to warn us when we are about to respond to an improper motivation or an incorrect perspective. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that when we are tempted to do something that draws glory to ourselves, that you will simply warn us. Just simply whisper these words, glory of man, glory of man, glory of man. We will know what you mean. And Lord, when you are pleased with the way our life reflects the glory of the Lord, have the Holy Spirit whisper to us, glory of the Lord, glory of the Lord, glory of the Lord. We'll be quick to thank you and to praise you, Lord. Take our lives, use them to bring glory to yourself. Our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?